And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on Positive Talk Radio, AM 1400 KKZZ. Our theme today is defining styles. Each of my guests is telling us how they define styles and what they do. My first guest, Peter Noon, defined musical styles during the British invasion in the 1960s. My last guest, Liz Lears, defines style as we see it in the retail stores across the nation. She is the de facto arbiter of styles. My next guest shows her styles by tackling an issue that most teenagers wouldn't think about, the food and the drink that they consume. She's conducted research on energy drinks and the impact these drinks have on teens. Her work has won her a scholarship to college. If you're interested in dialing in and talking to a really bright young lady, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Joining us today from her high school in Pennsylvania is Shoshana Golden. Earlier this year, Shoshana won the National Prize for the Young Epidemiology Scholars Competition. It's a national public health competition that encourages teenagers to pursue public health research while still in high school. An additional 250,000 public health workers are going to be needed by the year 2020. That's only 10 years from now. The need for more young people to pursue a public health career is tremendous. Shoshana won the top award, a $50,000 scholarship, for her work she did concerning teen awareness on the risks pertaining to high energy drinks. Appearing on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is Shoshana's second most big thrill this year. She also, earlier this year, met President Obama at the White House in an event he hosted to honor the teen winners of math and science competitions. Welcome to the show, Shoshana. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I am doing great. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Let's get right into it. You did some very interesting research on energy drinks. So tell us a little bit about the research. What prompted you to look into the teens' use of energy drinks in the first place?
So I am very active at my high school. And one day when I was looking around at the students that I was interacting with, some really bright, really driven students, I noticed that a surprising number of them were drinking ever-increasing amounts of energy drinks. And when one friend pulled out 3 cans of Monster in a single day, I started to question how great these energy drinks can be for your health.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, were the friends acting any different because they were drinking these energy drinks? Was it a positive effect, a negative effect? What did you see?
Overall, it tended to be a negative effect. They were getting energy, of course, but it was at the risk of heart palpitations and headaches and insomnia when they wanted to sleep later on.
So the devil's in the details. You do pay for it in the end. Why did teens find these drinks so appealing in the first place, do you think, Shoshana?
Well, these products are marketed to teenage males as giving energy and stamina and power. And for high school students who are being pressured by all sorts of outside factors, the promises sound really great. It's just the details, like you said, that really get them in the end.
Hmm, interesting. I mean, is there that much peer pressure in high school? Because, I mean, males in high school are probably at the peak of their virility. I mean, guys, if you're listening, it's all downhill from here. But the reality is, you know, they're never going to be more energetic. They're never going to have more focus and drive than they do now. Why do they need these energy drinks, do you think?
I actually looked at that in my study, and I found that the top 3 reasons for energy drink use were insufficient sleep, academic pressure, and social reasons.
Okay.
And there's a variety of reasons.
So social reasons. What would be some of the social reasons that they might encounter?
At a party, if all of your friends are drinking energy drinks, it's really awkward to be the one person who's sitting there just having a Coca-Cola.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Right. Now, you went down to Washington to the White House, and congratulations to you for that. You spoke to President Obama, and when you spoke to him, you handed the president a copy of an alert that you had from the National Association of Elementary School Principals that they're giving out to parents, warning of the dangers of high energy drinks. Why do you think you believe that the sales of these should be regulated in some way, and that's what you probably told the president. What did you tell him when you handed him that information, and why do you think that these drinks should be regulated?
Well, I actually have 4 recommendations that go along with my study.
Oh, okay.
And the FDA regulation is, and regulation of sale is the final regulation. First, there needs to be a lot more education done about stimulants and energy drinks in general. And that's what my report to parents that I did with the National Association of Elementary School Principals, and will be distributed nationwide in, I believe, about a month, talks about that both children and parents are not aware of the risks of energy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then following this lack of awareness, you have pediatricians who don't understand the products and what they're doing. So if we can eliminate their lack of awareness first, we can do more studies that actually examine the true effects of energy drinks and then decide if regulation of sale is a good idea.
Okay, now that all makes sense, and that's a very cogent argument that you have. But embedded in all of that, the comment about pediatricians not knowing the effects of these energy drinks, is that really that's an interesting factoid. I mean, these are educated doctors that have gone to 8 years of medical school and internship, and yet they don't seem to be educated on the effect that energy drinks might have on young bodies?
Well, the first thing that you have to realize is that energy drinks are a fairly recent product. They were first introduced in 1997 with Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they new, there are extreme levels of variation between caffeine and stimulants within different products are really hard to understand. So unless you've been studying up on energy drinks, almost nobody would be aware of the exact amount of stimulants and the effects. And they still haven't been able to study the long-term effects because of this recent development.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It hasn't been long-term to have long-term effects, has it?
Exactly. So pediatricians are definitely doing their best to get up to date on this information, but it's still a very comprehensive issue.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. Now, there are other foods that are out there in the environment, Shoshana. By the way, we're talking to Shoshana Golden, everybody. She's calling in from her high school to do this interview, so we're grateful to you for that. But there are other foods that are out there that aren't regulated that are probably, well, I won't say just as bad, but certainly have negative effects. Soft drinks are not regulated. Coffee is not regulated. Tea is not regulated. Why do you think we need to go to that last step and regulate energy drinks?
Energy drinks have extreme levels of stimulant. One can of Monster is equivalent in the amount of caffeine to 72 cans of Coca-Cola.
Run that by me again. One can of Monster is equal to 72 cans of Coke?
In terms of stimulant.
In terms of stimulants. Wow. All right, so it's really packed in there. But then it begs the question, because stimulants have always been around. I mean, there have been, stimulant pills, and kids in the 50s were taking those to get ready for exams.
No dose.
Speed, all of those things. No dose is exactly, that's a brand name of one of those pills. So, I mean, these things have been around, and kids have been able to get their hands on them forever. So, how would regulating change this?
The regulations would do a lot to prevent the huge increase in sales. In the last 5 years, there's been a 516% increase in the energy drink market in the U.S. alone. And most of this purchasing is happening with middle school and high school students.
Oh, really? Middle schoolers are getting this? Now, are they buying it from vending machines? Are they getting it from their parents? How are they middle schoolers getting their hands on this?
There's all sorts of ways. They're sold in most gas stations. They're sold in almost all grocery stores. They're sold even on some school premises, which is another thing that I'm trying to eliminate. I'm trying to make energy drink-free school zones.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you extend it even so far as to have soda-free zones? I mean, do you think it should go that far?
I haven't studied soda enough to be able to really give you a great answer on that, but soda definitely does not have the same complications that energy drinks do.
All right. And what are some of the added complications that these energy drinks bring that sodas don't?
Energy drinks can lead to heart palpitations, increased propensity for strokes, migraines, nausea, addiction to stimulant, especially when kids start at an early age, severe insomnia, jitters, jolt crash episodes. The list just goes on and on and on.
Oh, tell me, what is a jolt crash episode? That just sounds so intriguing.
Jolt crash is when you get that first spike of energy, and then you fall back because you've used up your source of energy, and you just have this crashed mood, lack of energy.
Got it. Well, we're talking to Shoshana Golden, everybody. She is one bright lady, has done her research on energy drinks. She joins us from her high school in Pennsylvania to talk about some of the dangers that energy drinks have on young children. And you did this is my understanding, this was all part of a study that you did for the young How do you pronounce that? Epidemiology Scholars? YES is the abbreviation, and I think we'll stick with that, YES. And that was part of a competition to encourage young people to pursue public health careers. Now, why did you enter the competition, and why do you feel it's so important that young people should move into the public health arena?
I entered the competition because my sister had actually been a national finalist before.
Wow.
The year before, and she came back with the stories about the fascinating projects, the people, and I decided that I had to come up with a project that I felt was worthy of public health recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing the statistics, like you mentioned, where 250,000 public health workers will be needed in the next 10 years, I just felt like this was a really great competition, a really great cause.
All right. And you support the cause because you yourself are going to go into the healthcare field?
Absolutely. I'm looking to be a pediatric neuroepidemiologist.
Well, no, you're setting your targets very high for a high schooler. I think that's great. What are you going to be? You're going to be a pediatric what?
Neuroepidemiologist.
And what is that for lay people?
I'm going to be studying kids' brains and then diseases.
Kids' brains and kids' brains diseases. I love it. I think that that's admirable. That is way, way cool. Now, tell me, you come from a family of very bright individuals, a very driven family, obviously. Do you have brothers and sisters? And if so, where do you rank in the family? First, second, third? Where's your family ranking there?
I'm the middle child. I have an older sister at college and a younger brother who loves swimming and chess.
Oh, that's neat. That is neat. And where do you plan to go to college? Do you have your sights set on any schools in particular?
I'm a senior, so I'm in the middle of that college application process.
All right. And what's your first choice, if I can ask you on the air? Where would you like to go, all things being equal?
That's the problem right now. There's too many great schools with too many great programs.
Yeah, there are. We've got Stanford and UCLA out here on the West Coast, and you are replete with them there on the East Coast. There are a number of good schools there. All right, let's get back to the energy drinks for just a moment if we can. Now, you had mentioned earlier about the peer pressure. If everybody's at a party drinking energy drinks, it's kind of hard for somebody to resist that kind of peer pressure. One of the things that I have heard about energy drinks, Shoshana, is that nowadays children are mixing alcohol with energy drinks to give them even more of a buzz and even more of a high. Do you find that to be true, and how prevalent is that?
Absolutely. I found that, especially with the new Four Locos and the other alcoholic energy drinks, it's a big attraction for teenagers that are looking.
Only imagine.
So with energy drinks, you're twice as likely to accident, and with alcoholic energy drinks, you are four times as likely for both of those things.
Wow. All right. So let me just say, repeat that. So if I'm drinking, and I'm not going to call out any brand names and embarrass them on the air, but if I'm drinking an energy drink, then I'm twice as likely to have a car accident if I'm partying and drinking an energy drink, and four times and more likely if I'm drinking an alcohol-laced energy drink?
That's what some of the first studies are beginning to say.
Wow, those are staggering statistics right there. But it brings me to the point that I was going to make, that alcohol is regulated right now. It's illegal to minors. You can't get it, theoretically, by going into a store. Yet, minors drink. Many of them die in drinking and driving-related accidents like that. So if you put a regulation onto energy drinks, how is that going to be more effective than the regulations that are currently in place for alcohol?
Well, the regulations would send a message to parents. I've had parents come up to me and ask me if Red Bull is similar to Gatorade.
Oh.
I know, which is a shocker. And then when you look at statistics, like I found that one-third of 12-year-olds have tried energy drinks and about 80% of 14-year-olds. So if we could cut those numbers down by regulating energy drinks, I feel like that would be a really positive improvement.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, Shoshana. As you're doing this research, are energy drinks something that maybe 18-year-olds to 24-year-olds in college is that, and not have as many severe effects as you get when you're in the middle school years?
Absolutely. When you're 12 years old, your brain's still developing, your body's still developing. By the time you're in college, you have more awareness of what you're doing to your body, and your body is beginning to pass that developmental stage.
All right. So it's something that you could maybe look to see, you could look to college-age students wouldn't have to be affected by the regulation necessarily. I see what you're saying. Now, what about the workplace? Have you done any research on the effects on adults in a working environment?
My primary is on Well, energy drinks were originally intended for adults in a working environment. They're now being sold primarily to young adults. And so adults have become less of a focus with energy drinks.
Okay, so the marketing is truly on the male, the teenage male is the one that they're really zeroing in and targeting on. So get your Taco Bell and your energy drink, and you'll be set if you're a teenage male today. Well, that brings me to really one of my last questions is, all right, if we do go to the step of regulating it, which, you know, after all the education and everything else is the final recommendation that you have, how are governments going to pay for the regulation on these high-energy drinks? You know, because today cigarette taxes and alcohol taxes are what help to pay for the regulation on those products. How do you foresee people being able to afford to pay for all of this education that needs to go on to bring parents up to speed?
This is a major issue that we're trying to deal with right now, because if you do regulate energy drinks, you run into a lot of the problems with advocacy campaigns and the actual cost of regulating them. And it'll be a challenge, absolutely, to figure out how to accomplish this. But I feel like it is an admirable goal in the next 5 to 10 years to accomplish.
Well, absolutely, it is an admirable goal. And you have put in a lot of research to come up.
A lot of hours.
A lot of hours.
A lot of internet resources. If you've looked at the new EPI calendar, E-P-I calendar, that College Board has put up, it's a really great help for any public health type of research.
That is great. So you did this all over a winter break, which to you probably seems like a lot of time, but to many of us here seems like just a drop in the bucket. You've done some amazing things in a short amount of time. We've been talking to Shoshana Golden, everybody. She is an advocate. She's done research on energy drinks. I wouldn't say that she's an advocate of it. In fact, she's an opponent of most of these energy drinks. Shoshana, the name of the organization that granted you the scholarship is?
The Young Epidemiology Scholars Competition with the College Board and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
All right. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Good luck to you and your continued education. We'll talk to you down the road. I'm sure we'll see great things from you in the future.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.
Shoshana, a pleasure is ours. Thanks for joining us here.